Blog Talk Radio.
Time now, promo.
There is only one thing hockey fans should be listening to. This podcast. You are listening to the Isles Beat Podcast with your host, BD Galoff and John Jordan. Prepare for your mind to be blown.
Howdy, y'all. It's BD. We're doing a podcast on the, the cusp of the NHL draft, and a little more than a week away from free agency. And I think it's time to have a little bit of a podcast, because I think that, there's a lot of craziness, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of rumors and innuendo. But now that the teams, the organizations are actually in Buffalo, while the GMs are over in Vegas for the GM meetings that just went on, now is when rumors might have a little bit of legs, and we can go into a lot of the different things and different scenarios. I know that I've been a little bit rough with trying to correct what was an incorrect assumption of how much money the Islanders really have. And I think that's created a lot of disappointment, because when we look at the items and how things add up, we really are looking for the most money because we want something to happen. And when, you do the math and the particulars, it's not as clear cut. And right now, hopefully, if you've been following along myself and the blogs and some of the commentary, that, the math is much different than what other people had been blogging a week or two ago. And it's going to be, I feel that when the Islanders close out their RFAs, you're talking about $62 to $63 million. The cap is finally $73 million, thanks to the NHLPA. Agreeing to it, to go up just a slight uptick. So, so there's a little bit of leeway, but at right now, you're not talking with Islanders missing at least two, if not three, forward roster spots. They're not going to be shooting for Stamkos unless they move salary. And that seems to be the sticking point. And this is why I've been kind of tough online to kind of correct incorrect assumptions, or people playing off the hype, or, maybe just being a little bit too much of a fan and buying into the hype. Not everybody sits down with the calculator and everybody sits down and tries to do the math. But I've been really trying to get it right. And I really feel strongly that that's the way the numbers are going to be. So if they sign somebody like Franz, which is a possibility, they'll be at 68. Or 67 to 68. So it's a lot less room than you thought. So it's going to be very interesting of what comes next. And that's why John and I are going to do this show. And here we go. So, John, over to you.
I'm just sitting here trying to figure out if the NHL awards are actually on TV this year. what a sad state of affairs if that is not the case. But hey, how you been, man? It's been a while.
I'm pretty good. So it has been a while.
We're all recovered from our post-mortem episode, and we watched the Cup awarded once again, and now everybody's quite certain that the Islanders better get Steven Stamkos, or else this offseason is already a waste. And, I mean, those are the tea leaves that I've been reading from just polling the masses. Are you ready to squash that for everybody, or what?
Well, I mean, it's a matter of numbers, and that's why I've been so strongly kind of hammering down, because I really feel like at first I was really irked because it was coming from writers who should do the fucking math. And somebody said, oh, they have the room to do it, and didn't bother to do the math. And it's really important, because you're giving fans leeway to have a false assumption. And I really feel that it's our responsibility to be correct about it and not to be the fan. Do I want Stamkos? Of course I do. Who wouldn't? It's an elite forward. The one thing that the Islanders, every time that, the fans are frustrated when they look at, they point to Pittsburgh or Chicago, is why can't we be like them? They can do it. Is that they had, an opportunity to have two top three picks. And those two top three picks are a real difference maker. They got Kane and Taves, and already had Seabrook and Duncan Keith, because they had Chicago had sucked so long. Fans forget the years and years. It was almost a decade for Chicago of just being terrible, that they were able to accumulate. So they actually had two excellent defensemen already in their system, and then got those two top picks. And then, of course, Crosby, and then getting Malkin for Pittsburgh, two generational talents. The Islanders haven't had that opportunity. When you look at drafts, it's really very rare outside the top three to really get that home run. And everybody points to all the other home runs that came from those few teams that, did. But there's 30 teams, and there's a reason that's a low probability. So, the Islanders haven't had that opportunity, and people look at Stamkos as, any UFA to seal that, because the Islanders are missing, and we saw this season needing, the fact that Ryan Strome regressed and didn't step up. Anders Lee had back and forth and, regressed, but showed towards the end of the season until he got hurt, some steps. They really are lacking that number two. Kyle Poso wasn't that number two, even though he wants that number two money. And he'll get it from free agency, because somebody will pay for it. And they have to decide if Kyle Poso is worth it, or is he a product, of a higher rate because of playing with JT. But the Islanders have put a foot in the sand, because you can't just pay for people in fear of losing. And I think that's what's going on for a lot of Islander fans, the fear of change. Kyle Poso is leaving. Franz Nielsen could be leaving. Matt Marin's definitely gone. And I think that, for a fan is jarring, because it's a change. And the Islanders have to at least replace the goals of Franz and Kyle Poso, and see if there's an opportunity to get better. And I think there's a lot of push-pull here and a lot of fear. And I think that's created an atmosphere, and us, wanting, the hype and wanting to hear certain things like the Taylor Hall rumor, which I there's a reason that I kiboshed it, because unless Edmonton comes down in pricing, I think that the cost for him is phenomenal. And, that's the reality here. And I've been kind of trying to set for fans a lay of the land. And I think at first they feel like, when you do that, it's depressing and it's a downer. But I'm really trying to just give some reality and some stuff of what I've been getting as information, so that they can, if the Islanders are able to do something, you knew how it really was, how the trademark is, and how difficult it might be. Sometimes fans don't want to hear that, and unfortunately that's what I do, and that's, I'm not going to change how I go about it. But if you're going to be disappointed, I just want people to have the correct information. And that's really been what's going on. So unless the Islanders start dumping salary, there won't be a Stamkos. But is it a possibility? Only if they dump salary, because they will not have the room.
Yeah, I've called you things like Captain Buzzkill in the past, but once I realized that you're right far more often than you're wrong, I think I brought that back to calling you the voice of reason. Brought it back to the positive side. But, you know, I think one thing that might be happening in the mind of the average Islander fan right now, without doing any independent thinking of their own and possibly even less research, is just taking a quick glimpse at some of the free agent lists that are out there where people attempt to rank the free agents before they hit the market. And of course, Stamkos leads that list. But I think what an Islander fan might be looking at is, you know, like TSN, for instance, has Kyle Okposo as the fourth best potential free agent on the market and Franz Nielsen at 12. So that's two of the top 12. And even though, you know, you and I have been talking since before the season that it was quite likely that Okposo most certainly would be, or most probably would be gone, but probably Nielsen too. I mean, I remember, I think one of our first shows, we even said that. Nobody really wanted to come to terms with that. And now they're staring it in the face, even though there seemed to be some optimism, at least as far as Nielsen goes in the last week or so, but I don't know, maybe that's faded. I think people are a little paranoid about what might happen if they do in fact both leave. And I think actually the Matt Martin thing, far less impactful in my opinion. And I think it's just common sense to realize that that would be, you know, much less of a loss as much as people have liked him. I think there's a certain contingency of Islander fans that are afraid that he's going to just move right on over to the New York Rangers. And to that I say, who cares? They're going to be terrible for a little while here, I believe. And you know, he is what he is. It was a nice little run, but I think, you know, kind of like you were alluding to, you have to be open to some change. The team isn't doing what people want it to do just yet. They're getting closer, maybe, but sometimes, you know, you need some sweeping change to take it to the next level. Now, when you talk about moving salary, if that were to happen, to make everybody super excited or get everybody super excited about the possibility of Stamkos to the Islanders becoming a reality, you know, who do you start with? People have whispered Johnny Boychuk's name in the wind, but I think that, you know, yeah, and I was expecting the giggle there, but I think that is you know, that's people that think they can just look at a sheet and be like, okay, move this, move that, do this, do that, and then there you go. It's as simple as that, get it done. But it's not as simple as that. It hardly ever is.
Yeah. Now, well, Boychuk has a no-movement clause, which is going to have look, as I've cited ad nauseum this season, Boychuk did not have a good season. That really hurt the Islanders, that where Letty, and Letty didn't play how he did the year before, but he was still good enough. But Boychuk did not have a good season at all. And historically, he's had bad seasons before. You hope that he's not in decline, which is a much bigger issue. So we will remain cautiously optimistic there. But he has no movement clause. You can't move him. He's not going to waive it. He just a Newsday story about a house that he bought in Garden City that they're going to be building on the land.
Yeah,
that's not somebody who's going anywhere or waiving anything. And let me tell you, when an expansion draft comes around, he ain't waiving and nor being asked to waive his no movement clause for that, so the Islanders don't have to protect him. That's not going to happen either. That's a fan sentiment. That's not what, in reality, what teams ask. That, you know, they have to protect their no movement clause players. And the Islanders finally have a no movement clause guy, and you hope that he has a better season.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, he was a huge part of the team a couple of years ago, and you know, I think he'd probably be the first person to realize that last year wasn't what he wanted it to be personally, and you really hope for that to go in the other direction next season, because that'd be a key piece of taking the next step and restabilizing something that was at one point a strength. But, you know, I don't know. The draft is, what, 2 days away, which, you know, I tend to get more excited in the last few years from an Islanders perspective for the draft, as opposed to free agency after years and years and years of being, you know, essentially disappointed, even with unrealistic expectations heading into free agency or whatever. But this year with the draft, as far as potential trades might go, and the fact that, you know, they're missing some pieces as far as their own draft picks after the first round, I don't know. I don't even know how much anticipation I have for that. I mean, what can we expect there?
Well, you know, it was a year ago that I told everybody to pay attention at the draft. And lo and behold, they did that deal that, moved Reinhart and made, got Barzal, who has an opportunity to make the team if he's at the right level when he comes to camp. They were able to do some damage. There's a possibility of I think that fans are going to need to pay attention once again, but I have no idea what they're going to do if a trade can happen where the trades get announced, because of course, by a certain time, the NHL, even if a trade happens that morning, the NHL wants to put that announcement in the, you know, at the draft itself. So we
right.
might not know until it's announced Friday night, but I think that, and I'll see if I want to do some sort of live chat or just, you know, be on Twitter with fans. But I do want to make myself available because I've been told I might want to. So I don't know, to be honest. And I don't think the Islanders know. That's the thing. You know, everybody wants something, but, you know, 29 other teams are vying for something too. And right now, trades are not happening willy-nilly, and we'll see if it happens in the next 2 days. But, last I left it online, I think that fans were a little bit disappointed when I said that it only has probably a 20% chance of the Islanders being able to make a trade. And, you know, I don't think that's really changed. Maybe it's going to get worse. Maybe it'll get better. But right now, there seems to be not much of a trade market. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes. Can the Islander, you know, like I said, when you look at the Islanders with Franz and Kyloposo, they're going to try to replace those goals. But they might use the opportunity if the right thing comes along and, you know, if teams have to be willing where they can get better. The thing about getting better is the other team needs to feel that they're getting better too. And that always gets left. You know, people say Garth needs to be creative. What does that mean? What does that mean? People want to just simplify something that is very, very complex and nuanced. There's a lot of moving parts to a trade market. There's a lot of moving parts to a draft. There's a lot of moving parts to free agency. And I think fans have a habit of simplifying things and, you know, fairly at times. But sometimes in reaction, when they're asking of why something's not a certain way, it's because they've been simplifying something. You know, we live in what's the cap era, and that's a change for the NHL. The cap only went up because the NHLPA voted it to be up. It would have stuttered. And that has teams very concerned of what their caps are at. So they're being very cost conscious that there's an expansion draft. Now that Las Vegas is announced, the expansion draft is going to be a big deal for the Islanders because they can only protect. I don't think they're going to do the other option of the protect eight and a goalie. I don't think because they have too many forwards. They're going to talk. They have to protect seven forwards and three defensemen. And if you count your defensemen, that means they must, because of the no movement clause, protect Boychuk. That means Hamonic and Letty are probably the other ones they can protect. But where does that leave Pulock? Last I left, and is that Pulock will be at the amount if he plays 55 games next season. So he will be exposed to that expansion draft unless the Islanders come up with something. So will Calvin DeHaan. And I will tell you, even though fans seem to be wishy-washy on DeHaan, if DeHaan is exposed and the Islanders figure out something with Pulock, he will not be an Islander, and the Islanders will be missing a top four defenseman. The expansion draft is a big deal to teams, and that hurts or affects the draft, the cap, and the feeling of a team's feeling that it's really not raising up affects the trade market, the willingness to take on money, which is, if you looked at, I really cited the Chicago deal to Carolina, where to take Bickle and I have no idea how to even pronounce his name, Teravainen. I have no idea how to pronounce his name.
I just let these things ride now, man. I'm not even going to jump in there.
That's right. But
call him Alphabet.
Yes, Alphabet. A good young player who's going to be used probably in their top six eventually. That's what it costs. It costs a good young player, NHL player, by the way, not a prospect, to dump salary on Carolina. And people have really balked when I said, well, are you willing to give up Strom in the same fashion? Because you can say that Bickle's not the same as if you trade Halak, because Halak is good. Well, that's your opinion. The other team that's taking on the money doesn't care, because you're paying them to take on money, and that has the cost. And that's the difficulty that fans have, is realizing that the other team needs to be paid to take on that cap room. Now, if the Islanders are willing to move, it would be great if they could move Kuhlman. I think that Bailey, if he can get anything back to at least his last two seasons, because he had a terrible year last year, at least there's some options there. Kuhlman, I thought, was just a mess. That would be great. The other thing is, there seems to be an assumption that the Islanders can just buy out Grabowski. And it's much more complex than that, because he's an injured player. You cannot buy out an injured player. And the time to, that you have to be wrapped up in a buyout is by June 30th. That's coming up real fast. So if he's injured and the doctors have not cleared him, guess what? He cannot be bought out. And then, of course, people bring up, because they heard it from some writer who didn't bother with the particulars, of what's a long-term injury reserve, which is only used when the team is at the very cap ceiling. And that's not going to happen with the Islanders. They're not going to be at the cap ceiling. That is only allowed if you're at the cap ceiling, so you can go over a certain amount, because that player will not be available. So it's much more complex, and it's just not that easy to, say, push a button and say, we're going to just move these guys because I feel they're good. Why doesn't somebody take them? Because teams are not willing to take on that cost. Everybody's focused on their own cap, and they want to make other teams pay for that. So it's going to be very interesting, because it's not as simple. And I really don't know what to expect in the next 2 days.
I think that that expansion draft, albeit a little while away, of course, is going to have a major impact on the draft. It's going to have a major impact on free agency. It's going to have a major impact on trades throughout the season, because it's the first expansion draft that really has to deal with this ever expanding landscape of no movement clauses. You know what I mean? And the way that factors into how teams protect people, like this team, Las Vegas, is going to have the opportunity, I think, to be a lot better, a lot quicker than a lot of expansion teams in the past, because of what I believe is going to be a slew of relatively quality names available, if they're willing to spend some money and things of that nature right off the bat. It's going to have a big factor.
You could feel the playoff team right off the bat. Possibly.
I really believe that they could. Now, that they have to.
And how well they do it.
Well, the flip side to that is, we have a playoff team right off the bat, let's say, possibly. But you have a playoff team that's made up of a bunch of horrible contracts. You're going to be probably worse off in the long run right off the bat than if you just kind of build it slowly. But I'm really, really interested in how that plays out and how that's a factor in everything for this upcoming season here, starting this weekend.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to have effect, especially teams starting to look at what they can protect and what they can't protect. I mean, what do the Islanders do? They have to think about that. You know, you know, people were asking online, oh, well, you can only have, you make Pulak only play 54 games. You know, that's not so easy. And does that really help the team? Does it help his development to have him in the AHL or play only 54 games? You know, everybody, you know, before they heard that, everybody was like, you got to win. You got to get better than last season. So which is it? And that's the thing. We can't talk out of the fear. We have to just move forward. But the Islanders are going to have to be, and many other GMs are going to have to be very conscious of the, you know, players that they bring in. They're going to have to either protect or not protect. They have to be conscious of that. There's a lot more at stake, and there's a lot of things now that they all have to think about. The fact that the cap is not flying upward anymore. The fact that, you know, there's expansion and an expansion draft. And you know, those things matter. Even if it doesn't matter to the fan that just wants something. And unfortunately, those details are the devil here. And that's what's going to really dictate what happens in the end.
Yeah, so switching gears just a little bit to get back to what, you know, will be upon us before we know it, the free agency period. You know, if Islanders fans have to face the reality of losing, you know, Okposo and Nielsen and Martin and just get past that and move on, I think the logical thing, other than just saying, well, who's the best player on the market? Gosh, it's an open and shut case. Go get him, which we know is not anywhere near as simple as that. You know, I think what they have to do is assess what the needs are, you know, once the purge has been done, shall we say. What were the needs at the end of this previous season, and what are the needs once former Islanders have gone on and signed elsewhere, officially then becoming former Islanders, I guess, technically speaking. And with that in mind, I thought it might be, you know, apropos to remind ourselves and everybody else as to what those needs might be as of right now. And let's just pretend, you know, that Okposo and Nielsen are gone, as we presume that they will be, I guess we should say at this point. And I think the first thing that you have to look at, again, are going right back to, you know, beefing up the forward contingency and the scoring from the forwards. I also think there's some defensive needs that need to be addressed as well. So are there particular types of players that people should be keeping in mind rather than just peeking at the top of that list and assuming that the Islanders can ruin what seems to be a pretty healthy cap situation, or at least a pretty meticulously managed cap situation up to this point, with also, you know, John Tavares needing a contract not too far off in the distance? Or are we just going to keep seeing people just clamoring for the top names and only the top names and just pick off 1, 2, 3 off the top of the list, and that's the only way that this team gets better?
Well, look, if we look at the player – now, let's just talk about the players that have left before we talk about if they could even improve. Kyle Posso, you need somebody, at least someone on that wing, one player if you're going to use Lee or Strome. Or, you know, one of those options as your other wing, at least in theory, unless you can do some sort of deal, that you need to replace Okposo's 22 goals. The thing about Okposo, and I think that what the Islanders will look for, is someone with a little bit more scoring acumen. I think that Kyle is a little bit of what we'll say is a second assist whore. And that's not a bad thing, but that's kind of padded his stats when he's on JT's line. And second assists are not really, you know, that valued. It's the first assists that matter. That's the pass that created the goal, not the incidental pass that got to the pass that created the goal. And I think that's, you know, that's always been the issue with Kyle Okposo, besides inconsistency, despite that there are some skills there, that, you know, the Islanders need to find someone else who can be a dangerous scorer on the top line. and then run with, you know, either Anders Lee or Ryan Strom or, you know, Brock Nelson or, you know, anybody else they can revolve around. But I think it's really key, and I think that's really what hurts JT's game, is when the other player is just not that dangerous, just not that speedy or skilled. And I think Kyle has some, but I think they would try to find that. And I think they would try to find it with if they find it within a trade, it's not going to be for the Taylor Hall rumor, despite him being a very talented player at $6 million. I think they're going to look for someone who's a little bit more under the radar, probably under $5 million. You can definitely have somebody who's younger than Okposo. That would be probably a preference. Somebody under 28, so they're not necessarily on the cusp of decline, so that there's actually some upside, some growth for them, at least for the year or two, before what we call is the decline, where naturally the player will start to wind down just due to age. And I think that that's the kind of piece that they would like to find. It's, the question is if they can find that via trade, because that's when they can control the age, salary. UFA is a totally different ball of wax, because everybody's pretty much 27, 28 and above. So a lot, and that's why free agency is one, the Islanders' history in free agency has not been good. And two, a lot of those players are going to be in some sort of decline for the most part. So,
do you know what we've just done in just trying to speak logic and stuff like that? And I ask a question about, potential types of targets and things like that, not going in any names or anything like that, but what we've done there, in answering that question and in immediately reciting several incumbent names, like Lee, like Nelson, like Strome, we've sent Isle's Twitter into a panic already just by mentioning that, as guys that are going to be running alongside Tavares, because I swear so many of these people have convinced themselves that, forget Stamkos, but he is a name that people will continue to mention, but they're still playing out that narrative of, well, gee, if you don't get somebody to play alongside Tavares, man, he's going to want to be out of here as soon as possible. I really believe that they've convinced themselves of that.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Tavares might be the reason that he's pushing Garth to keep on talking to Franz. You don't know.
Yeah.
So stop, the fact is that people don't know. Don't fucking assume. Talking out of fear just is talking ignorantly. It doesn't help. I get the fear because there's years of players leaving and stuff like that. JT is pretty loyal, and I don't think that's that kind of scenario. He seems on board with everything. The team has got under pressure to make changes and be better. Does that necessarily happen at the draft is the question. And, of course, if it doesn't, everybody panics. It could happen at the draft in the trade market. It could happen with UFA. If they miss on both, there is a very good possibility that Garth waits in the weeds and waits until there's several teams that have to get under the cap and have to, just like when they did with Letty and Boychuk, and that's when they make their offer and try to scoop up somebody. You just never know. So there's always, with the Islanders, I think, a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C, to at least try to remain competitive. Because one of the things that I brought up, and people, I think finally after I kind of explained it, is if the Islanders are just able to replace Okposo and Franz with the goals, because that's really what matters in the end. There are some other attributes certainly that Franz brings to the table, but the fact is the Islanders have a lot of players with multiple attributes. That's why they work the way they do. The thing is, if they stay and just retain that, are we doomed? No, because it's on the Isles coaches to to work and work with those players like Strome and Lee and get them back to where they need to be. And I do think that the coaching staff is on the line for that. Because if there's more player regression, I don't think the coaching staff lasts the season. So I don't think that's going to wash at all. So I do think that, you know, that there's, and, you know, the fact is, let's look at, and one of the things that, and I've brought up is that, and thanks mainly because, you know, Staple over in Newsday had kind of spitballed saying that he felt that Halak would be dealt. The problem with that is it looks more and more to me, unless he's some sort of salary dump, that he's not going to be dealt. And that's because the goalie market is kind of glutted and there's some bigger names out there, just like Anderson ended up in Toronto. Calgary seems to be, you know, looking at Marc-Andre Fleury and possibly Ben Bishop. They all are goalies with a little bit more pedigree than Halak and certainly a little bit less injury issues. And yes, you can bring up that Marc-Andre Fleury had, you know, concussion issues this season, but the fact is he's got more pedigree and is higher respected in the NHL than Halak. And that's where the market seems to be on those two. Does Halak become an option? I kind of doubt it, unless it's a salary dump. The thing is that the Isle fans, the reason that we made the playoffs and really, besides JT, were the difference was because of our goalie depth, that Greiss had the opportunity to rise when Halak faltered. That's the kind of thing that you actually need depth, because you never know what's going to happen. Greiss has never shown that he can do it again and keep that level. He's never shown that. And let me tell you, the Islanders don't know that. So next season is going to be a very interesting ball of wax, because if there's an assumption that Greiss is the starter, don't assume. It's going to really depend on who's the best goaltender and how they play. And I think that the Islanders are better with goalie depth with both Halak and Greiss as the tandem. So, and I think it's going to be very interesting if that remains the same. Defensively, the issue has always been that they haven't been the same possession team from the year before, where the two, Letty and Boychuk, were really kind of possession engines for the Islanders 2 years ago. And that didn't happen this year. And we saw that they weren't feeding the pucks to the forwards. The forwards, as a result, weren't creating the same kind of getting shots on goal and creating scoring chances. And everything seemed to kind of fall apart, where, you know, Boychuk became, you know, basically, I think, like the fourth defenseman. And Hamonic, as I showed in Twitter, actually struggled in the top pairing, which I've been saying for a very long time, that he is a very solid and really good third defenseman. And when he was used with Letty, when we looked at the stuff that he did, in fact, the analytics showed that he struggled. And the Islanders need that, you know, and I don't know if they can fill that with a trade. You know, I don't know if, you know, if their priority can really be trying to grab a Shattenkirk, because they have such needs on the top line. So it's really very tricky.
Yeah, and you know, you can discount the idea of a defenseman like that sort of when you go back to the needs up front. But also, since we switched over to goaltending for a minute, mentioning Halak and Greiss stepping up when he had to last year, and when Staple jumped in and mentioned some of the Halak stuff so quickly, that was around the same time that he and several others like immediately anointed JF Berube the Islanders goalie of the future. We thought relatively irresponsibly after such a short window of exposure there, people are, you know, such a small sample size. But when you talk about, you know, goaltenders and the trade market right now around here, Ben Bishop's name is all over the place. You mentioned that. You mentioned a couple teams that might be interested in him there. But, you know, the Islanders have been mentioned irresponsibly or otherwise with that name a couple times as well. And I wonder, those are the types of things that you want to have, you know, two quality goaltenders in Halak and Greiss, and another young guy that might get more of a look moving forward. You know what? I mean, do you realize the amount of things that would have to take place for that to even become a possibility? Or am I just crazy for saying that? I don't know.
What's that? With the I missed that
just,
last part.
Just the you know with two quality goaltenders in Halak and Greiss, and then you know a guy like Berube, a young guy who's going to you know possibly get more of a look moving forward, get you know some number one time at least you know in the minors, and then maybe get another shot in the not so distant future. How is a name like Ben Bishop ever even connected to the Islanders? Those are the types of rumors that I don't understand they come from. How many things would have to happen for that to even be a possibility?
Well, or as I was told, there's no possibility.
There you
Absolutely
go. That's what I'm
no
saying.
But I mean, it's whatsoever. It's not even a thought in their head. It's not even a priority.
Yeah, and if you think about it for a minute, you know, you have needs. And is he a wonderful goaltender? Sure. So would that be an upgrade? Probably, but you've got so many other things to deal with, and you're not awful in goal. It's not like that's here's what's going to put us over the top, everybody. You know what I mean? Like that's what I wish people would make that connection before things like that get out of control.
Yeah, and yeah, that was very silly. The contemplate Bishop as if that's even a reality in any shape, way, or form. Look. Yeah, the Islanders have their goalie situation. It remains to be seen if anybody's even interested in Halak, and what you know comes of that. But it's an example of you know, and hopefully put a perspective on it that you know having that goal, you know, even if nobody's interested, having that goaltender depth is rare in the NHL. Having, you know, possibly two starters. And it was one of the things that kept the Islanders afloat during some items that hurt them. And Greiss stepping up and being better than Luongo was a big deal and one of the reasons that they got past Florida. And I think it's just as possible that Halak gets, you know, himself healthy and has a good season and Greiss has an okay season. Or vice versa. I think it's, and you have that room for that if you have them both. And I don't know what happens with Berube. You know, just because the scouts are high on him, you know what? Yeah, Islander scouts were once high on Kevin Pullen and Anders Nielsen. So you know what? Scouting is fallible. And the fact remains is you need to keep those players because you need depth, because you never know what's going to happen. And if it would be fantastic if they could, you know, put Berube and Halak and Greiss all into camp and let, you know, see how they all play. I don't know what's going to happen with that. Or do they use Berube the rights to his RFA to, you know, get a pick? You know, you just don't know. And it really remains to be seen, but don't be afraid of having depth. Because I think that is one of the strengths that, and one of the reasons we got out of the first round, is having that depth for when somebody gets hurt, somebody has the opportunity to step up. And, you know, and there's no guarantees that Greiss can necessarily do that because he's never shown that before. Will he have an opportunity to show it? Absolutely. But, you know, who knows what will happen. And I think that, you know, defensively, the Islanders have a lot of depth, too. You know, Pellick, Mayfield. These are all players that, you know, that could all be on the team next season. I really don't know of much defensive moves unless it's involved in a bigger trade scenario. That'll happen. I do think that the Islanders can afford to move Pellick or Mayfield if the right opportunity develops. With, you know, one of their forward prospects. I don't think they're willing to move Barzal, but, you know, Michael Dal-Cole, who, you know, is not as NHL-ready. You know, everybody takes time and development, and they also need to be fully grown, and I think this gets forgotten about. Barzal is kind of fully grown. Michael Dal-Cole, I think, still needs to do some fleshing out. And would probably be at Bridgeport this season, but he's a possible trade piece if that can, you know, get the kind of pieces that they need now. So it's going to be very interesting because, you know, and there's going to be a lot of panic. There's going to be, you know, a lot of expectation, but it's going to really be dictated by action. The Islanders start moving salary. Then you can start talking about Stamkos because they're making room, not before that. And that's the thing that I've really tried to smash down, is you have to base it on what they're doing. If it's only a couple million, they're not going after Stamkos. If they start moving off Josh Bailey and somehow dump Kuhlman, then you're talking about room to make a dent and make a run.
Do you work Halak into that mix too? Is that part of that potential scenario?
I would think so, but I really don't know what to expect.
Right.
You know, I was reminded that, you know, having that goaltending depth, and there's no guarantees with Greiss, as fair warning and an alternative perspective. And it really is true. Does that mean that they wouldn't move him? No. I think that they're, you know, it depends on other teams, and it takes two to tango. You can say that Garth needs to be creative and all this other crap, but it requires another team that feel that they're going to get better in some way or fill something that they're willing to make a payment for. And that's the real trick. And, you know, I don't know what to expect. I do think that if the scouts are high on Berube, that they'll have some more comfort in hoping that Greiss can stay at the same level as he did last season. Because if you're high on Berube also, then, you know, if Greiss falters, Berube will get more opportunities for starts and start developing or take over the role. I think that's the comfort factor. If it was just Greiss, I think the team would be shaking its knees because Greiss hasn't historically shown anything. And that's the thing. I think they're willing to go in any angle as long as they feel that they're getting better. And I think there's a lot of different variables and a lot of different things that need to come up. And I think that the Islanders remain opportunistic or willing to be opportunistic. And if the right scenario develops where they feel that, look, I talked about it on Twitter today. There's only about three teams that I think that are real buyers for Stamkos outside of Tampa. And I can't see how Tampa would even be able to hold on to him.
I can't either.
I hate to say it. I know that Tampa fans might be very connected to Stamkos. I don't see how they can do it. And the one thing that I've heard is that Stamkos likes being a center, not a wing. And, you know, you have Buffalo wanting to sign him, and rumors, and Toronto. And you also have Detroit, which is a very interesting scenario. Because Detroit doesn't have the room for Stamkos unless they're able to move Datsyuk's contract. And I don't know, you know, they might be willing to have somebody take it, but it's easier said than done. If they move that contract, they will make a run. And they might have a very good shot. According to those that I speak to, they feel that they have the best shot because Detroit is a playoff team. And a perennial, you know, always a playoff team. And I think they're willing to give him, you know, the top center spot. And, you know, they would need to make some changes and moves and, you know, internally. But I think that they have that opening there. So I think they're very dangerous in buying for Stamkos. But if they're not able to do it and they decide not to, could the Islanders all of a sudden start making space and making a run? Because Toronto and Buffalo are not playoff teams. So all of a sudden the Islanders could be a bit playoff option of winning. And that they have a friend, he has a friendship with John Tavares. So there might be an opportunity for them to take a shot. Could that happen? Yes. But we have to see that go. We can't assume. We can't look at the Islanders' numbers and not do the math and say, oh, they can do it now. They can't. You have to see moves, and that moves will dictate what will happen. And I think that I really say that strongly because I think that, you know, it's going to be very interesting the next 2 days of where something or nothing happens. and then there'll be panic, or we'll make assumptions of, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, we really need to kind of step back and kind of see how it bears out.
Don't you love the story that always pops up? Oh, you know, so-and-so is friends with so-and-so, and that's why. Or so-and-so played with so-and-so in Pee-wee. And you know how many guys share that same story? I mean, I know that these guys are tight and they go back a long way and stuff like that. And that's, you know, I'm not saying that the times that these things come up, it's not true, but that's not the point. The point is that's not hardly ever what puts it over the edge and makes something happen. You know what I mean? If that were the case, it'd just be like, hey, who are your friends? Who do you want to play with? Let's get the band together and let's do this.
Well,
it doesn't work like that.
And they, especially when fans say, well, we have an opportunity to win, so they won't go anywhere else. And that's crazy, because put it in your own scenario. Here's an opportunity to move to any state of the U.S. Don't you think you need to talk to your wife and your family and decide the living situation? Kind of
place might be a good idea.
Live, the schools, all those things that you would do. Guess what? Players do that. Players do that. They don't think about just the cup. They want to win the cup, and it's about living other people, you know, where their family is, or where, you know, there's so many other factors. And this is the simplification that drives me nuts of just assuming, well, we have the best opportunity to win. So fucking what?
Yeah.
It's about their, where they picture themselves living, and all those other variables that really matter. If Stamkos wants to be a center, well, that brings up an issue for the Islanders, if he really feels strongly on that, of is JT willing to move to wing, or is Stamkos willing to play on wing? That these are things that Stamkos can do whatever he wants, and there's going to be a multiple variables that you need to think about, because it would be for you. So it's not always about just winning. It's about a bunch of different things and what fits best and what gives the opportunity to win and does, you know, has the living arrangements and this and that. And, you know, there's so many other items in the, you know, that fall into it. Another thing I want to kind of poop on is, you know, the Lucic items where everybody overrates size. You know, he's not the same player he was in Boston, and I think that everybody views him as like their number two selection. And if you look at his stats and what he produces, he's really just a second line wing. And just like, well, the Islanders won't use Clutterbuck on the top line, I think that Lucic's speed and skating doesn't lend itself to work within the Islanders' parameters of what they're looking for. And I don't think he's necessarily that great. I think he's a little overrated. And I, you know, and a fan had recommended and they had heard the rumor that Detroit might be willing to deal, was it Nyquist, who's a very good young forward, cheap forward, who can score 20 to 25 goals or more. And I showed them in their analytics how much Nyquist was actually better than Lucic, and tried to give that as a prime example of someone who would fit the Islanders' needs and somebody who doesn't fit the Islanders' need. And, you know, Nyquist actually could become available if if Detroit is able to move that's a contract, and probably would need to move a player as well to make that room. But I don't know if I don't think that that type of player, or if that player would come cheap. And it just is a prime example. When we look at the list, you got to think about the skill sets and the items that the Islanders really want and need on the top line is speed and skill. Not, you know, I know everybody's in love with physicality, and it would be great if they could all hit and punch and do all these other things too. But the speed and skill is what is going to lead to the goals, and the goals is what leads to the games that are won. the other attributes are secondary. And I really think that that has to be a little bit of reality. Also, every time I speak to other people about Lucic, they don't believe that he's going to leave the West Coast or, I think, Edmonton and Vancouver. They don't feel that an option for the East
Vancouver
Coast.
There, yeah. The Vancouver name always comes up there. And
yeah,
that may end up being the case. But another player, he's another name that, fine player, wonderful. But just because a guy's been a name somewhere else and made an impact somewhere else, like, we don't always have to jump on every single one of them. Oh, yeah, we should go get him, What would happen if average Joe fan did have the opportunity to run his favorite NHL team, like win some?
Actually, we have an example of that.
Do we?
Let it be word of warning, average Joe fan, Mike Milbury.
Well,
that's your example of somebody who didn't have a fucking clue of details and of particulars, who just did stuff on gut and almost like a degenerate gambler, just of compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
That I would feel like it would be Milbury. That's the thing that would what they would do. They would constantly roll the dice, thinking that each time they made a change, that it's somehow better.
Just because, yeah.
Just because they want change for change's sake, and not work with what you have. And I think that you need to have that. I know that Garth is very conservative. He's very vision and long-term orientated. And this is why I warned Islanders fans not to think that the new owners are going to change anything. Because it's my understanding, those new owners are completely on board with that. And I actually should wrap up, and we'd probably go over, just if you have a couple minutes to go over. I do want to talk about today that they got the approval and that, Malkin and Ledecky are taking over. I want to give fans fair warning, because I know one little tidbit. Somebody had said that Charles Wong, if they're tired of seeing him at the table. Let me tell you, Friday, look at who's at the table. I will bet you anything it's Charles Wong. So there's that tidbit for you. It looks like Charles Wong is taking – Bettman has said that he's taking 15%. And Malkin and Ledecky are taking the rest. I was told that he actually has more than 15%, but I'm not sure of what the amount is. And when I get a better idea, I will say it. But basically, Malkin actually has the most. Ledecky has the next amount, and Charles Wong has, the third amount. But that doesn't matter. It all matters of the partnership agreement that they have come up with. Because those three are working together. And that's what they have been doing, actually, over the course of the year anyway. And though Ledecky will be the one who's talking, Malkin is the one who really owns most of the shares. So it's going to be very interesting in how that equates out. But when you on Friday, when you're looking at that draft table and seeing Charles's face, aren't you going to be surprised?
Well, that'll send half of Islander Nation into a frenzy, I'm sure. Although, hey man, it's just about improving the team. I could really give two shits about who owns what and what the case is, as long as they're still playing up there in the same vicinity, and they still have the same name, and they're still wearing the same colors. Maybe that's not a topic I should bring up in perpetuity either, but hey, we'll see. Friday should start the interesting wave of the off season, and hopefully we'll have a couple of things that happen so that we can jump back in before too long and do this again before people start forgetting about us. What do you say?
I agree, and we're going to be talking about bringing on another two fellows and having their own show also be on our channel. So we have some things in the works. So there will be actually two Isles Beat shows, and we'll see how we revolve them with different angles and different takes. And, most of all, my suggestion to Islander fans is keep you cool. Let's see what happens, and let's see how they deal with it, and let's make judgments when the Islanders actually come to camp. And see what we have instead of always jumping. And I think, you know, maybe we'll be a little bit surprised of what ends up taking place when opportunity presents itself, because the hype is not real. It's all about opportunity that presents itself. And that's what's going to dictate what happens on Friday. And that's what's going to happen, you know, what's going to dictate in the next couple of days. And like I said, follow me on Twitter, because I think that I will be, you know, corresponding with fans you know, be in touch, because I think that, you know, there'll be some interesting things that develop Friday night.
Hey, at least it's worth paying attention to one more time. That's great. It's good to hear. I'll watch yet again, and I'll be conversing with you along with everybody else. So good to be back. We'll do this as the news dictates throughout the offseason, I guess is the good way to describe it, and starting to put the pieces together for next year. And, yeah, happy to add the second show. Look forward to that being branded properly and give people a little bit of a different flavor. And we're just getting started, so. Like I said, good to be back, and we'll do it again soon.
All right. And on that, we're out.
See ya.